Once again, it's good to be here and very good to see everyone tonight. And I'm glad that you're here and you brought your Bibles with you this evening so that we can study another portion of God's Word. Let's open to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and then let's look at verses 43 through 46. John chapter 1, verses 43 through 46. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Those three little words are words that I would like for us to take into consideration tonight. Come and see. We see in this passage that Jesus called Philip. And then Philip told his brother Nathanael about Jesus, that he had found the Messiah. And when Nathanael questions him, Philip simply replies with these three words, "Come and see." And we would do well to imitate Philip's example today. When we think about doing personal evangelism, sometimes that can be intimidating to us. And maybe we don't quite know what to say to others when we're talking to them about our faith. When we're talking to them about Jesus and the Bible and the Word of God, the church, the many different things that we do. Of course, anything that we say, God can certainly use to His glory and honor. But if you find yourself in a position where sometimes you don't know what to say, here are some very simple things that we can say. We can start with this phrase, "Come and see." And so tonight, as we think about this phrase, I'd like for us to think about three areas that we can say to someone else, "Come and see." And I hope that in thinking about these three areas, it will encourage each one of us to talk more about the things of God to others, to talk more about Jesus, to talk more about God's people, and specifically the things that God has done for us and the things that we are to do in relationship to God, and then also more about Jesus, the Son of God. And so some very simple things that we can say to others. Come and see, number one, the works of God. Come and see, number two, the glory of God. And come and see, number three, the Son of God. Now I think that between those things, we should be able to find something to say. But let's think about those three topics this evening as we think about what was said in John chapter 4, John chapter 1 and verse 46, when Philip said, "Come and see." First of all, come and see the works of God. You know, as we look around us, there are so many works of God that we could consider and we could talk about and we could glorify God in. In Psalm 66 and verses 5 through 7, the psalmist writes this, "Come and see the works of God. He is terrible," or some translations say, "awe-inspiring. He is awe-inspiring in His doing on behalf of the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He rules by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves." And so the psalmist exhorts us to come and see the works of God. He has in mind specifically the works that God did in salvation of the nation of Israel, that He turned the waters into dry land for the children of Israel to cross across the Red Sea. God did these works on their behalf, for their benefit, for their salvation. And these works inspired the Israelites subsequently to rejoice and to acknowledge God that He has done so many wonderful things for them. Today we invite others to come and see the works of God on behalf of men as well. And of course, the pinnacle of God's work is the grace that He has offered through His Son, Jesus the Christ. We're all familiar with John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 and following, we read, "For while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commends His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if we, when we were enemies, were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement," or the reconciliation. Yes, God has shown His love for us through His Son Jesus in saving us from our sins and reconciling us to Him through His Son, by our accepting His Son, by our believing in His Son, and the death of His Son, and the blood that was shed in His death, so that we might have salvation from our sins. So we can invite others to see the great grace of God shown through His Son, Jesus the Christ. But we can also invite them to see and understand the work of God that is in the Bible. Come and see the work that is the Bible itself. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." And so the Bible is a wonderful work of God that we can tell others about. And sometimes it's good just to sit down and to study the Bible with others and to talk about what it means, you know, and what it says. Sometimes people don't understand maybe the language that's used in the Bible. It's different language than what we use sometime in our everyday conversations. And it's good to sit down maybe with a dictionary and just go through some of these things. Peter told us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And so the Bible is inspired of God. It's given by the Holy Spirit of God. And when we study it and learn from it, God works upon us and He does something to us to change us if our heart is not hard and impenetrable, so that He can work within us. Yes, come and see the works of God and study the Bible, one of the works of God. And then we invite them to come and see the work of God in unfolding His plan for man's salvation. Certainly, as we look through the pages of the Old Testament, we can see that God worked with a specific people to bring them to maturity, to the point where they were ready to receive His law. But then after having had God's law for many years and knowing exactly what God expected of man, nevertheless, man still fell away. And because of his sins and his iniquities, he was separated from his God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. And so God sent His Son Jesus so that we could be saved from our sins. And Jesus died on that cross so that the gospel could be preached and that men could have a forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God. And Jesus then told the apostles to take this gospel into all the world and preach in all the corners of the world so that men would know who Jesus was and what they needed to do to be saved. And He told them to hear the message of God and to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, to repent of the sins that they've committed within their lives and turn to God, to find Jesus and to confess Him as their Lord and Christ and to be baptized for the remission of sins. All of these things are things that Jesus taught, that the apostles then took and taught to others, and that they went forth into all the earth to preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. So we could tell them to come and to see the works of God in regard to God's plan for man's salvation. come and see, first of all, the works of God. But what else could we tell them about seeing things of God? Well, secondly, we could say, come and see the glory of God. The glory of God. In Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 18, God, through Isaiah, said these things, "For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory." Come and see the glory of God. God knows everyone's thoughts. God knows everyone's works. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He invites us through His gospel to come and see His glory. He has, in fact, through the gospel, made it possible for all men to be gathered together into one body, the body of His Son, Jesus the Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 14 through 17, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "For He," that is Jesus, "is our peace, who has made both one," that is Jews and Gentiles, He's reconciled them together in one body, "and He has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were near." What is the apostle saying here? He's saying this, that in times past there was a separation between men. There was a separation between Jews and Gentiles, and this separation caused problems among people. There's separation between other men because of sin within their life, and the sin that is within our life divides men from one another. But God wants all men to be united. He wants everyone to come together to be one and to have harmony and to have peace with one another. And He wants all men to come together and have peace and harmony with Him, their Creator. And how did He accomplish this? Through His Son, Jesus. That's how He accomplished it. Because we were unable to do that in and of ourselves. Left to our own devices, we were not able to make peace one with another. And you can see that in the world today, even today. If you look around, you see men trying to make peace with one another. They continually fail. They continually can't do that. There's constant strife between nations. And even within nations, there's constant strife among various different groups of different kinds within the nations. What is the hope for man's peace? It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Because when we come to Him and confess Him as our Lord and recognize that He is the one through whom we must go to be right with God, then anyone that goes through Him to be right with God, we are at peace with them. Because the same process that makes me right with God makes them right with God. And how could I say that I couldn't be right with my neighbor in that regard if they're right with God? So we invite men to see God's glory. And that is God's glory. That He has provided a way for men to have peace in the earth. That He has provided a way for men to have peace with Him in heaven. And so this is called today the Church of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us, unto Him be glory," notice, "by the church," or in the church, "by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And so the glory of God is found within His church. This is the same church for which Christ died, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." This is the church for which Jesus is the Savior. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." And so we invite men to see God's glory in His church. But we also invite men to see God's glory in Jesus the Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, we read, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so it is through Christ that God is glorified. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, we read, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you. That is certainly something that glorifies God when Christ is living in us as He should. And so we invite men to see God's glory in His Son, Jesus the Christ. And we invite men to see God's glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Yes, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Jesus Christ, because it was through that cross that we have peace in the world. It's through that cross that we can be reconciled to one another. It's through that cross that we can be in a right relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23 says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. That as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And so we say, come and see the glory of God. The glory of God is in His church. The glory of God is in Christ, and the glory of God is in the cross of Christ. And finally, we say, come and see the glory of the Son of God. The Son of God. In John chapter 1 and verses 43 through 46, the passage that we read just a few moments before, we see that Philip said, "Come and see Jesus, that He is the Son of God." In Matthew chapter 14 and verses 32 and 33, there the disciples had been out on the ship, and they had been in a storm. And in those verses we read, "And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth Thou art the Son of God." Because Jesus had stilled the storm. He had caused the winds to cease. He had caused the lake to be calm. Only the Son of God could have done a miracle like that. And He is the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 54, there as Jesus was being crucified, and upon His death there were earthquakes, and the darkness, of course, came upon all the land. And the centurion that was standing by watching Him, he saw the earthquake and those things that were done, and he feared greatly. And then he said this, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Jesus, the Son of God. And in John chapter 1 and verse 34, there, John says, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." He testifies, an eyewitness, saying that Jesus is the Son of God. And in John 1 and verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel." John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John writes, "Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name." Come and see the Son of God. We invite others to see the Son of God today as we live our lives. In John chapter 15, and verses 4 through 8, Jesus says, "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in Me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be My disciples." And so Jesus, coming and seeing who Jesus is, coming and seeing the Son of God, is coming and seeing the people of God as they let the Son of God live within their lives. And for many, that's the greatest evidence that the Son of God has walked the earth today, when they see someone that they know, and they see someone that they love, and they see the behavior that they have within their life, the concern they have for others, the willingness they are to do good and right things within their life, and they see what they see is Jesus living in them, and that is coming and seeing the Son of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the faith who is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave His life for me." Yes, we need to invite others to come and see the Son of God as He is living in our lives today. And so when we invite others to see the Son of God, we invite them to see Him in the people of God. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people," or people for God's own possession, "that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So, being the people of God, we show forth the praises of God within our lives, and others can see the Son of God living in us. In Romans 9, and verses 25 and 26, we read, "As He also says in Hosea, I will call that My people which was not My people, and her beloved that was not My beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said unto them, You are not My people, there shall they be called the sons of the living God." And so we say, come and see the Son of God who is living within His people, the children of God. One of the simplest things that we can say to others as we seek to do the evangelism that our Lord has commanded us to do is this: come and see. And what are some of those things that they can come and see? They can come and see the works of God. They can come and see the glory of God. They can come and see the Son of God living in His people. Let's resolve to take this message out to those who are around us in our lives. This simple statement that was made by Philip so many years ago, simply to come and see. That others may come, that they may learn, that they may see the Son of God living within us, that they may see the glory of God in His church, that they may see the works of God as we are practicing those works within our lives, and as we are seeking to uplift and exalt God, to honor Him and to glorify Him. Let us exhort them to come and see. Have we been doing this job within our lives? Perhaps we haven't been exhorting others and encouraging others to come and see as much as we need to. And this is a good time for us to examine ourselves and to think about how we can do a better job of simply saying to others, come and see. Let's examine ourselves, and each one of us, and myself included, as we think about more and better ways to do evangelism in the community that is around us here in New Boston, Texas, and the surrounding areas. There is also an opportunity for others to respond to the gospel tonight. Perhaps there are some tonight who need the prayers of the church for whatever reason. Perhaps there's some sin within one's life that needs to be confessed at this time. This is an opportunity to do that. You certainly can come forward tonight and confess fault and ask for prayers, or perhaps you'd like to visit with one of the elders of the congregation or one of the other members and talk to them about it. We're all open to that, and we're all wanting to help one another go to heaven, and in helping one another go to heaven, that means that we have to deal with the sin that's within our life and try to change from letting that sin control us to getting to a point where we are following Jesus and letting Him control our lives. Perhaps that's a need for someone this evening, and now is a good time. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, if you haven't identified with Him by being baptized into Christ, then now is a good time to do that as well. You can hear, we've talked about the plan of salvation tonight, hearing His Word, believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus, and being baptized for the remission of sins. That's how one is reconciled to God. It's how one is made right with God. It's how one comes to be a part of the body of Christ. And remember, that's where God's glory is given, is within His body. That's how God makes peace with all men and with Himself. And so tonight, if you need to become a Christian, if you need to be baptized, we can help you with that as well. Whatever your need might be, we invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.